All righty. All right, we're on section 5. This is Bible readings for the home again, 1914 edition. As a matter of fact, you can actually get this online. For those of you listening, if you want, on the radio, I'll send you a link if you want it. But we're in chapter 45, the gift of prophecy. And for some reason, the way they got this set up, there are no page numbers, so you don't really know what page it is, I don't think. But I don't see any page numbers. No, all right. Well, my water's not even down here, so while the next person's reading, I want to scoot and get my water. But let me, we've already prayed for those of you listening on WTPR, so. And we got how many in here? 33 questions, so let's do two at a time. What do you think? All right. And hopefully people will be, okay, number one. How did God communicate with man in Eden? Genesis 3:9 says, and the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And then number two says, since the fall, by what means has God generally made his, known as well to man? You know, because now he just can't walk up to the man in the garden. And in Hosea chapter 12, verse 10, it says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Does anybody else have a microphone, or am I going to do all these?
Okay, just freezing up here. Okay, and number three, what things belong to God and what to us? Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Question four, how fully and to whom does God reveal his purposes? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse 7.
Number five. Can the wise men of the world foretell the future? This is from Daniel 2, verse 27, Revised Version. Daniel answered before the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded can neither wise men, enchanters, magicians, nor soothsayers show unto the king. Number 6. Who did Daniel say could reveal secrets? Verse 28 says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days.
How did the prophet acknowledge the insufficiency of human wisdom? As for me, this secret is not revealed to me from my wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. That's verse 30. After revealing and interpreting the dream, what did Daniel say? The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Verse 45.
Amen. So we're on 9. All right, how does God show his foreknowledge? Oh, no, we're on 8? No, we're not on 8. He just read 8. Didn't he just? Yes, okay, 9. How does God show his foreknowledge? Isaiah 42:9 says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Kind of reminds me of John 14:29, where Jesus more or less says that, but he goes further to say, so that you might believe. He tells us things in advance so that when it does come to pass, we can believe. And that's such a blessing, even to the scoffer, you know? Number 10, how does the Lord reveal himself to his prophets? Numbers 12:6 says, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Oh, okay, Clive and Kim, got your mic back? Okay, so I guess, I don't think Lynn has a mic. I don't know, whoever's next. Clive and Kim can do it now, too, so. And we're on 11.
Under what influence did the prophets of old speak? For the prophecy came not in old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. See Samuel 23, chapter 23, verse 2. Number 12. How are both the origin of prophecy and the means of communicating it still further shown? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah, perhaps we should just, now we should go in order since, okay, so like Clive and Kim, and then GP, then Joel, then Library, and then me, of course, and then back up to Clive and Kim. I think, yeah, because GP just did it recently, but hey, we can do it real quick. That's no problem. Just so we can get some kind of an order otherwise, because we got a lot of them to do today. It goes up to over 30.
See, what are we on, 12? Somebody? 15, okay. What angel revealed to Daniel his visions and dreams? While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel 9, 21 and 22. See also chapter 10 and Revelation 22, 9 and 10.
Okay, two at a time. All right. What spirit was in the prophets in dating their utterances? Oh, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand at the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 Peter 1. Verse 10 and 11. Question 15, how were the Lord's words to the prophets preserved? Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of matters. Daniel 7, 1, Jeremiah 51, 60, and Revelation 1, 10 and 11.
Number 16, by whom has God spoken to us in these last days? Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Number 17. What was one of the offices to be fulfilled by the Messiah? Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
18. What was foretold through the prophet Joel? Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I like that one because it's repeated in the New Testament too. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, I don't know anybody today that I've heard about the dreams and stuff like that. And years ago, I used to have a whole mess of them. And then I kind of like started doing some research on the dreams and found that they have to be all, from what I understand, you know, and I didn't really do a lot of intense research, but maybe I should, because I would think, according to what Sister White says, if I'm not mistaken, you know, if you're going to have dreams from God, all your dreams are going to be from God. They all have to be from Him. You're not going to have just mediocre dreams. And I'm thinking that's what she said at one time. I'm not sure. It's been a long time since I researched this. But I can remember having all those dreams, and a lot of them were coming true. But there were also a bunch of weird dreams, you know, like gerbils with footprints in the snow and, you know, I mean, just, you know how dreams are. It's just weird stuff. But I don't know if you have to, because maybe I misunderstood Ellen White or not. I really don't know. Maybe we should do. I think Rob Sessler's got something on this. about dreams. But I know about people with dreams and stuff like that, but I haven't heard anybody recently with any visions, you know. Actually, I've never heard anybody anytime with any visions in today's world. So this day is short in coming, I would think, you know. It's about to be upon us with all that we see happening now. Okay. That's kind of where I'm leaning, Library Girl. And see, the problem with that is, how do you tell the difference? And that's one of the things I remember is a man approached me one time and told me about him having a dream about me, and he said some things, and I'm not going to repeat them because, you know, there's no reason to. But he says, in order to understand the dreams that you're having, you need to verify them with the scripture. If you can't verify them with the word, well, then just ignore the dream. And So I tried that, and the first dream I had that I thought was lucid or prophetic or whatever, it was about the end of the world, and I never knew this. I was kind of young in the scriptures, and in the dream, it was showing me that it was going to be daytime and nighttime at the same time. And then later on, I did find that in scripture. It was something new I never knew about, which makes sense, because when Jesus comes, being on a round planet as we are, it's going to be daytime and nighttime at the same time when he splits that eastern sky. And it's just going to be a unique day. That's how it was called in the NIV. Back then I was using the NIV. It was called a unique day. But I don't have an NIV now, so I can't even remember where the verse is at. A vision is, you got visions upon your bed. Clive and Kim are asking, you know, what's a vision? You have visions upon your bed. Of course, those are prophetic dreams. Or you have an open-eyed vision while you're awake. But in order for it to be an absolute vision from the Lord, I've got a page on the website about the true, you know, the keys of a prophet, and then of course signs of a false prophet. Just off my memory, off the top of my head, I can remember some of the things. There's a lot of them. I think there's like 13 or 14 different items of a true prophet. And of course, during vision, one of the things you'll notice, like with Daniel or John when they had their visions, or even Ellen White, there's certain things that occur. One of the first things I remember was Daniel collapsing, and he had no power to even move. All his strength was sapped from him. Plus, your breath is taken from you. You can't breathe. But you don't want to breathe. I mean, you're not at a lack of oxygen kind of a thing, if you know what I mean. Because like when the people die, the Bible says the spirit goes back to him who gave it. When you look up that word spirit in the scriptures, it actually means the breath of life goes back to him who gave it. So if you're standing in the presence of he who gives the breath of life, you don't need to breathe, you know, and so you're not breathing. And they verified this too with Ellen White. She was preaching in vision, and they put a mirror or a glass in front of her, and there was no breath coming out, and a candle in front of her, and no breath was coming out, but she was speaking. And and your eyes will remain open. Your eyes will remain completely open. I don't think you'll blink or anything like that. And there's a lot more things too that happen during a vision. But a vision will be like stepping out of our reality and stepping into the heavenly reality, however the Lord wants to step you in. You could have you stand into the, you know, in the New Jerusalem if you're on, or he can have you on some other planet watching Enoch mess with some grapevine like he did with Ellen White. And so, you know, you could just, it all depends on what the Lord chooses, but stepping out of our reality into his is what really a vision is. You're seeing things that no one else sees, even though they're all standing around you. Okay, it's an open-eyed vision. All right. Next one, 19, I guess. I get to do two, too, you know. Even though I get a little gabby at times. Number 19. When did this prediction begin to be fulfilled? And, of course, the prediction being from Joel chapter 2, verse 28, regarding daughters shall prophesy, old men will dream dreams, and, you know, young men will see visions. It says in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. There you have it. Oh, wait. What's FLB again? I always forget that FLB one. Anyway, you want me to read this to the gifts of the Spirit? Faith I live by. Okay. It says, is this a private message you sent me, Bonnie, or is this... Okay, notice this in the room. It says, now concerning... Okay, hold on a second. I think I better pull this out of the room. Did you just change the... Okay, now you're going too many chapters here, and it's the text chat is jumping up way too much. I can't read it. So let me try copying and pasting. It's okay. And I'll put it in a notepad or something. Okay. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 7. Paul declares that the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit were set in the church till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. All men do not receive the same gifts, but to every servant of the Master some gift of the Spirit is promised. The Lord has need of all kinds of skillful workmen. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. At this time, the special endowment of divine grace and power is not less needful to the church than in apostolic days. God will today endow men and women with power from above, as he endowed those who on the day of Pentecost heard the word of salvation. At this very hour, his Spirit and his grace are for all who need them and will take him at his word. That's one of the keys, by the way. If you don't believe it's going to happen for you, well, then there's doubt. And if there's doubt, then there's a problem. Going on, it says, the gifts are already ours in Christ, but their actual possession depends upon our reception of the Spirit of God. If they are connected with Christ, if the gifts of the Spirit are theirs, the poorest and most ignorant of his disciples will have a power that will tell upon hearts. God makes them the channel of channel for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. And that's Faith I Live By, page 292. I think that was all. Yeah, all on page 292, chapters 1 all the way down to 9, I think. So, thank you, thank you. Did I do 19? Yeah, I think I did. Okay, so whoever's next? We're on 20.
What were some of the gifts Christ gave to his church? When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives. He led captivity captives. And gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:8-11. By what means did God deliver and preserve Israel? By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Hosea 12:13.
Is G. Peter or is Joel going to go? We're on number 22.
When Moses complained of his slowness of speech, what did God say Aaron should be to him? Exodus 4:16 says, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. What did God afterward call Aaron? Exodus 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet.
Number 24, what is one test by which to detect false prophets? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing falleth not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy 18:22. Number 25, what other test should be applied in determining the validity of the claims of a prophet? If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign of a wonder, or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, where of he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Deuteronomy 13:1-4.
Oh, you can do the note afterwards. I just wanted to throw in a little comment right there real quick, because you got people today that will do these things because demons do know the scriptures better than we do, okay? They are angels. They're superior intelligence. They're fallen, but they're angels nonetheless. Now, they can send prophetic dreams. There's going to be some error mixed in. That's another reason I had a problem with, because some of the dreams I was having were verifiable in Scripture, but then there were some massive doctrinal errors in them. And so I was getting all confused, and I decided to just burn the books. Well, I didn't buy dream books. I burned my own little diaries, I guess you'd call them. But so what's being said here is, do as the Bereans did when they heard the preachers. Do the same thing with the prophets. Because back in that day, of course, back in Deuteronomy's day, like today you got the preachers. Well, back then you had the prophets, you know, or more or less. Well, here's another good one from Sister White. And then I'll... Oh, wow, this is... Okay, hold on a second here. Okay, ML. There's another one I don't know. You keep coming up with these good ones, Bonnie, but you keep... I mean, I just... This, you know, the ML. I don't know what it stands for. My life today. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Yeah, because I... like I said, I like reading her writings, but I don't... I should concentrate on the names of the books, possibly, you know, a little bit more so. I got most of them remembered, you know, memorized and stuff, but a lot of them I haven't... Like, I haven't read this book yet, so unless I come across it on the CD. But let me share this with you. It says, and it shall come to pass... Okay, that's, of course, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We've already read it here, so going on it says, page 62 of My Life Today, it says, we are living in the last days, in a time that we may expect much from the Lord. These words should bring us to the throne of grace to claim great things of him. And of course, she's talking about Joel chapter 2, verse 28, about the old men dreaming dreams, you know, daughter shall prophesy, young men see visions. All right, here the promise is given that on the men and women and on our sons and daughters, the Holy Spirit is to come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This brings to view a wonderful work to be done, for which we need the converting power of God in our hearts every day. It is our privilege to experience this. Heaven is full of blessings, and it is our privilege to claim the rich promises of God for our individual selves. We need to seek the Lord day and night, that we may know just what steps to take and just what we ought to do. The Lord has a special work to do for us individually. As we see the wickedness of the world brought to light in the courts of justice and published in the daily papers, let us draw near to God, and by living faith, lay hold of his promises, that the grace of Christ may be manifest in us. We may have an influence, a powerful influence in the world. If the convicting power of God is in us, we shall be enabled to lead souls that are in sin to conversion. In the closing scenes of this earth's history, many children and youth who receive a true Christian education will astonish people by the witness to the truth, which will be born in simplicity. I mean, yeah, you don't have to be a theologian to explain. You could just normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill words you could use and bless them with it. Okay, so which will be born in simplicity, yet with spirit and power. They have been taught the fear of the Lord, and their hearts have been softened by a careful and prayerful study of the Bible. In the near future, many children will be endured with the Spirit of God and will do a work proclaiming the truth to the world. They will do a work in the world that not all the powers of evil can counteract. That not all the powers of evil can counteract. They just can't stop it. There's no way. All right, if you want, I think it was Joel that was, who was reading? And he stopped. I think it was Joel. If you want to pick up the note that was underneath that Deuteronomy 13 thing you read.
Yep, okay, a note from these scriptures. Let me scroll. Oh, shoot, lost it. See, I'm used to reading it out of the book. I have Bible readings for the home here, but I couldn't find that chapter tonight, so I'm trying to scroll up and down on the page. Sweet. Okay, here we go. Sorry. From these scriptures, it will be seen that, in the first place, if a prophet's words do not prove to be true, it is evidence that God has not sent that prophet. On the other hand, even though the thing predicted comes to pass, if the pretended prophet seeks to lead others to break God's commandments, this, regardless of all signs, should be positive as evidence that he is not a prophet of God, a true prophet.
I should have just let you read the note, because that's more or less what I was trying to say, and this person said it better than I did. So I'll try to read in advance sometimes.
Number 26. What rule did Christ give for distinguishing between true and false prophets? By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. Number 27, what general rule is laid down for testing all prophets? Isaiah 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay, that's done. I'm on 28, right? All right. How did God's prophets anciently use the words of former prophets in exhorting the people to obedience? Zechariah chapter 7, verse 7 says, should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity? And then it says, the next one, what is the promised result of believing God's prophets? 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. But if so many people now are trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to prosper themselves in their lives, and they just don't realize that is the will of God, but if they step outside of his will, they're just not going to, I mean, they may prosper for a while, but, you know, what seems right to the man in the beginning is actually his destruction in the end.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Awesome. Maybe I should give this a try. Finally got my mic working. Let's see. We're at number 30? Okay, great. Number 30. What admonition is given regarding the gift of prophecy? 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21 says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And 31 says, what will characterize the last or remnant church? Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we can hear you. I think that's what you said. Do you want to read the last two? I think I just realized I just jumped the gun there. I should have waited for Mitra, but I didn't know he was going to speak. But, yeah, go ahead, Clyde and Kim.
What is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19 and verse 10. See also Revelations chapter 1 and verse 9. What results when this gift is absent? When there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18. See also Psalm 74:9.
You know something, I can always tell when someone's using one of those microphones that you wear on your head, you know, you got the earphones and you got the microphone that comes in front of your mouth. People always assume that you got to have the microphone right in front of your mouth for it to work. Because you always hear that. You always hear these popping noises whenever you speak. Or you know, like when you say the letter P or T or stuff like that. You could put the microphone, and it's not just you, Clive and Kim, it's, you know, other folks that use the headsets have a tendency, actually everybody I know does that. But you just put the microphone near your chin, actually better to put it up by your nose. And that way your voice doesn't hit it directly, it glances across it. And that's how I use my mic here. The mic I have here, it's a boom mic for like a DJ, but it's like at my forehead. I don't like those spit screens that I have one of those round nylon things that you put in front of the microphone so that you don't pop your peas and stuff like that. But a lot of times when I'm using a microphone, I'm in the audio chat, and with that big disc in front of you, you can't see the computer, you can't see the text, you can't see anything. So, and it's better anyway this way. I always, even when I do the radio, I don't use a spit screen. I just use I just put it up on my forehead. But no, it's actually, yours wasn't as bad as some, Clive. I just happened to mention it because I notice a lot of people use those. And it's always best to have it a glancing blow from your mouth. That's why they, like with some of the Bluetooth things that you see people use, that they walk around, they make them so short that they can't possibly be in front of the mouth. Because if it's in front of the mouth, there's going to be a problem. So, anyway, anybody want to read that there poem? If not, I'll do it. You mean like explosives? They're plosives. Go ahead, Clive. Or rather, Kim.
Thanks for calling me Clive. Okay. Is this Dr. Mo? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Footpour despised company of travelers are these, who walk in yonder narrow way along the rugged maze. Ah, these are of a royal line, all children of a king, heirs of immortal crowns divine, and lo, for joy they sing. Why do they, then, appear so mean, and why so much despised? Because of their rich robes unseen, the world is not apprised. But why keep they that narrow road, that rugged, thorny maze? Why, that's the way their leader trod. They love and keep his ways. Why do they shun the pleasing path that worldlings love so much? Because that is the road to death, that open the open road to hell. What, is there then no other road to Salem's happy ground? Christ is the only way to God. No other can be found. And that makes me remember something from work. Everyone at work knows what I'm like. I don't listen to radio. I don't, you know, listen to what I will call secular music, all these things. And a few weeks ago, actually last week, a Christian, in inverted commas, I would say, woman was telling me, you know, the Christian life doesn't have to be boring. No, there's nothing in the Bible that says the Christian life has to be boring. And we live in Trinidad, but I work with a guy from Florida, and he said, I bet you that there is no one within 5 years of your age group in the United States that does not listen to music. I said to myself, he should meet some of the guys I line with from the States. You know, but they look at me as if I'm so weird, and they tell me eventually you're going to get bored with life. But as the poem said, you know, we trudge a narrow, thorny maze. It's something that they will not understand.
Yeah, amen. I hate to study and run, but I had that. Remember that? Hold on, let me shut off the.